I'm actually in a situation where, you know those things where you go to and they say, our next speaker needs no introduction. You probably know more about John Chapman than I do. You've probably heard him speak more often than I have. But John's been around a long time as an evangelist, not just around Sydney, but around Australia and around the world. And then a few years ago, he retired and kept it up. And what he's got to speak about is using your retirement for ministry purposes, particularly for the gospel. If there's anybody in John's retirement village who is not yet converted, it's not his fault. He's been continuing on, not just where he lives, but also in other places. And so John's going to come now and speak to us about the whole business of using our retirement, when we stop working full-time for money, to be able to use that for the purposes of the Lord. So thanks, John. Everyone give him a good welcome.
Fellas, let me say, it isn't clear when you read the bump about what I'm going to speak about. So let me say right now what I am going to speak about. And then if this is not what you thought you were coming to, you've still got time to go to an alternative. I will be touching in passing on some of the issues about ministering to older people. But the greater bulk of what I want to say is getting yourself ready to minister during your own retirement. And that is the greater bulk of the thrust of what I want to talk about. Whether I was briefed correctly, or whether I'm just so old now I heard what I wanted to hear, it's always hard to tell. When the lights dim, I'm never sure if it's the next step in the ageing program, and I've got to say to the person next to me, have the lights just dimmed, or it's the next thing along the way. But that's what I'm going to do. I'll do that briefly as I head along, and then there will be tons of time for question, and if when you get to the end, you're frustrated beyond all belief, you'll be able to have a chance to vent your frustration in question time, and you can pick what few brains I've got left. You know I was not down to speak at this seminar originally, but the trouble is when you invite geriatrics to preach, you're never sure if they're going to be there, but then neither are they. And so there you go. Let me just say up front that I can't find anywhere where the Bible knows anything about retirement. And certainly not from ministry or Christian work. Ministry, Christian ministry, is part of Christian living. And there's no sense in which you would retire from the Christian life because you'd retired from work. I know that it's a very strong view in Australian psyche. The Australian view of the ideal world is to have two holidays a year of 6 months' duration. Somebody once told me that people go to live on the northern beaches so they can be in a holiday frame of mind all the year round. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it might be. The first thing I want to talk about is planning for retirement. If you don't plan for it, it's not going to happen the way you thought it would. I don't know if you know or not, but the books on retirement tell you that 90% of men have achieved in the first 6 months of their retirement everything they plan to do for the rest of their retirement. At that stage, they look in dismay and say to their wives, who have very full lives, what are we going to do now? That sends their wives almost to total distraction because they hadn't planned to do anything apart from live their life to the full as they'd been doing right up to now, since they are not retiring in the way he does. Now, I know we joke about this, But let me say that it doesn't take you long in retirement before you've got time on your hands. And you say to yourself, what in fact am I going to do? I want to make a distinction between full-time clergy persons and lay people, because there's a sense in which the full-time clergy people do in their retirement what they did during their working life. So that adjustment's not nearly so difficult. And if you don't want to be in charge, and you're prepared to work with somebody and not want to change everything, there is so much ministry waiting to be done that you won't be able to achieve it all. I think you have in retirement, if you, depending on when you retire, about 10 years where you'll be able to do regular ministry without your body falling apart so that it interrupts you doing that. If you think your body falling apart is all that much fun, it's because it hasn't happened to you. And you might laugh away if you like, but from about 70 onwards, you could acquire a new specialist every month. Last year, I wrote a book in the waiting rooms of the specialists I have acquired. Why they can never keep to their schedule of appointments is beyond my comprehension. I know they've got to operate and all that rubbish, but why they don't have to allow time for it, I don't know. All right, let me ask a couple of basic questions with regard to your own retirement. If you don't plan for it, you won't achieve very much indeed, and you'll be driven to distraction. How do you think about your retirement? Do you think you'll be on a long, endless holiday, or is it going to allow you time for ministry? Most people in their working life have got to really work hard to find time for ministry. Our lives are busy. If you run a Bible study group, just finding time to prepare and deal with it. If you teach a Sunday school class, just finding time to do that is really an uphill job, isn't it? By the time you've left quality time for your wife and your family, you don't have a lot of spare time left for ministry. Now, for goodness sake, don't think of your retirement as endless holiday. Most people are bored out of their mind with endless holiday anyway. I used to be a school teacher and I thought having 6 weeks off was marvellous. But I was desperate to get back to work again at the end of 6 weeks. I mean, at the beginning of it, you're so excited about going away for 6 weeks holidays. You say, boy, if only I could be on holidays forever. I've hardly ever met anybody who wasn't dying to get back to work again. Anyway, I won't walk down that track. You need to discuss fairly extensively with your spouse as to whether your retirement is going to be a teamwork where you'll work together or where you'll work separately. Don't let that just happen by chance. It needs to be talked through. Bear in mind, will you, that your spouse has already ministries within the framework of the local church, which she may or may not want to interrupt for your benefit. But you will need to say, are we going to work as a team in this new ministry, which I've got time to do, or are we not? Can I say, at most churches, if you want to minister at the church, you've got to be prepared to be there regularly, and you'll need to be dependably regularly. No good taking 4 months off and going round and tour the whole north and spend some time at Cairns and fish barramundi and barbecue them and wrestle crocodiles and then come back again and expect to pick up the ministry which somebody else has been doing while you were there. Now, your children will be delighted at the prospect of your retirement because you'll be able to mind the dog and the children and or both while they go on holidays. I'm saying disillusion them of that quickly. Okay? Disillusion them of that quickly and talk with them about the ministry you plan to do in retirement. Can I say the other thing too is that many of my friends who did not plan for retirement felt when they were forced to retire that they had been rejected. And that did seem to me to be a great foolishness. It lacked a great deal of wisdom. I was so excited at the prospect of what I'd be able to do in retirement that it couldn't come fast enough. And when the new director of the Department of Evangelism said, "Would you like to stay on our payroll?" I said, "No. No, I don't want to do that. I can do that without you paying me. I've got enough goodwill around the place to generate finance if I need it." And I said, "You can put somebody else on the staff with the money you'll save for me." Now, I'm paid by Centrelink, by and large, at the present moment, and they pay me slightly more than the Anglican denomination did. And I just want to say to you, brothers, for those of you who continue to pay your income tax, please keep it up. Please keep it up. I'm enjoying it enormously. Can I say the next thing is that unpaid work is valuable. Do not be conned into believing that if you are not paid, it can't be valuable. Now, the feminist movement has done untold damage to the whole cause of motherhood by suggesting that if you work hard at anything but don't get paid for it, you are an inferior person. What a load of codswallop that is. If you do a valuable piece of work, it is a valuable piece of work, irrespective of whether you get paid for it or whether you don't. When we come later on to the case studies, I want to tell you about some things I have observed in the Christian world where I've been, and of the value of unpaid work. There was a time, of course, where we relied in churches on voluntary work that was unpaid. But more and more and more, they've been pushed out, and full-time workers have taken their place. But the time's coming when we're going to have a predominance of retired people with not the sort of money to pay those workers, but with time on their hands. Can I urge you now, before you get to retirement, to start praying that God will guide you as to where you will have valuable ministry in your retirement? It's a thing to be planned for, and it's a thing to be prayed about. And I would start praying about that now, so that when the time comes, you're prepared for it and you're fairly certain you've been guided by God to do what it is you want to do. Let me suggest some possible areas of work. And I want to talk about two areas of work, one at the local church and one in terms of freelance ministry. With regard to the local church, you ought to speak to your pastor or minister about what possible work he might think you might do in retirement. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will have a job for you, because he may not have put his mind to how to occupy retired people. He mightn't have even put his mind to that. He's got lots of things to put his mind to. And if he's young, that'll have been the last thing on his mind. He's trying to work out how to survive in ministry, let alone how to get you to survive in ministry. All right? So if he doesn't have any ideas, don't get disillusioned, but ask early on so he's got more than a split second to think about it. Most people do better when they've got a double split second than a single one. Let me ask, whereabouts do you have skills? Can I say that your skills may be able to be transferred almost immediately into the life of the local church? They may not. You will be welcome. You will not be welcome, I beg your pardon, if you want to bring about radical change and throw your weight around. If you are the sort of person saying, I can't wait to retire till I can get my hands on the administration of this church, please go somewhere else. Or repent. That'd be better, wouldn't it? Repent. You're always welcome if you don't want to change things. Can I say, in case I forget it later and I say it now, when you normally arrive as a visitor, you don't immediately start to rearrange the furniture in most people's houses. When you arrive as a visitor at church, for goodness sake, don't start rearranging the furniture. That is the least important thing. And if you start making it the most important thing, I was at a church building the other night, which hasn't yet been opened. We used it for a dinner. And the guy sitting next to me said, do you think there'll be a cross here? I was so shaken. And all I could do to say, who cares? And I thought, that's probably not the most sensitive thing to say. I said, thank goodness I don't have to make that decision. Wimpo chappo. Okay. But honestly, does it matter? Well, anyway, I won't walk down that path. You may have to suggest some areas where you think you might be able to work. Say, do you think I could do this? Do you think I could do that? Let me say that when it comes to ministering to seniors groups, there's plenty of opportunity there. You may find this a difficult thing to believe, that most retired people have got time on their hands. And my experience is, if you organise anything for retirement people, they'll come to it and they'll be an hour early because they don't want to be late. And it's been interesting to me to see how you might take them away on a house party and overnight. Leave early one morning, only have them one night because they can't carry enough pills to do more than one night. You say they've got to have two suitcases full of pills and then bring them back the next day. And most people can manage if they've forgotten their pills.